The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I invite you into a word of prayer. Great God of abundant hope, we praise you for the ways in which you feed us, through wine and bread, through your holy word, and through our gatherings with one another around tables. May the meditations of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've heard these stories 1,000 times, right? If you've heard one of them, then you've heard them all. Jesus shows up in a community, causes a commotion with the word he shares, the stories he tells, and the care he provides, and leaves with nothing short of a miracle, thereby stirring up even more controversy over who he is, why he's there, and what the end goal of his ministry is. Except in this story, from the Gospel of John, a story that also shows up in all the other Gospels as well, Jesus' work involves one of my favorite things in the whole world. Food. And not just any food either, right? Bread is an important piece of the story of God's people. Due to its rather mundane nature, we hear about it all throughout the Bible, in Old Testament texts, as people crack small cakes with flour and oil for their guests, in the New Testament, as Jesus shares it with those whom we least expect it. However, that's where the mundane nature of bread stops within our story today. In this story that we've heard many times, in this story that shows up in the Bible more than once, there must be something important happening in this bread, right? Yes. Yes, indeed. This meal, shared in this place with this many people, contains echoes of important meals gone by, and points to important meals that are yet to come. The reminders that bread provides us in this story points us back to another time in which bread was important to people in the Old Testament. The best example of this comes from the story of Passover in the book of Exodus. As this community of oppressed people were fleeing from the powers that be, they were unable to wait for their bread to rise. Unleavened bread became a sign for them of both their freedom from the oppressive structures of empire, but also a reminder of God's promises throughout their subsequent history. A nation of 12 tribes that worshiped God in thanksgiving for bringing them to the promised land. This would be important historical context for those who would be eating the meal with Jesus on the day of the story that we're hearing. More importantly, they would also know and remember that this unity that this community had after leaving Egypt wouldn't last. This nation, which was once united within that region, had been separated for many, many years. However, if we listened carefully to what was gathered after the meal, shards of bread, broken pieces that likely would have otherwise been forgotten or discarded, were gathered together. And when they were gathered, how many baskets full remained? That's right, 12. A number that would have sparked in the minds of those present a reminder of the 12 tribes of Israel. For these listeners in Jesus' midst that day, this bread served as an active reminder of freedom that they had once had, but also pointed to a new freedom through reconciliation and reunion. These echoes continue to ripple beyond today's story in the Gospel of John to the end of the Gospels. When Jesus institutes a meal centered around bread, while we often think of the Last Supper as a solemn event because we know that Jesus is about to be arrested, crucified, and buried, but the gathering at that table as he was lifting up the bread and wine was one of celebration. This bread, which Jesus was using to celebrate the Passover with his closest friends, turned from a bread of celebration and remembering God's promises into a bread of remembering Christ's sacrifice. This bread shifted from only being a bread used to celebrate the freedom of their people from the bondage of the oppressor to a bread that solemnly remembers how human sin took Christ to the cross, yet returns to celebrate as Christ rises from the grave, to show us that the bonds from which we are freed are no longer simply those we feel in life, but we are also freed from the bonds of death. Bread, this basic source of nourishment, was beginning to gather more and more meaning behind it. Even today, as we gather at God's table at Christ's invitation, we remember and celebrate the importance of this bread, or I guess maybe wafers in our case. And this celebration goes beyond just what happens when we gather for worship on a Sunday morning, a reality that I got to learn firsthand during my internship year with Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Austin, Minnesota. Taking a note from my seminary learning, I invited members of this congregation to join me in the kitchen once a month for baking bread to be used for communion. While the initial group of bread bakers was small, these dedicated folks shared with others the joy of what that great baking process brought them. Fellowship in a space the community normally didn't occupy together. Having a hand in the creation of something essential to our worship together as a community. The joy in seeing a creation of your own hand present within the worship space being shared with everyone. Soon enough, the group of bread bakers grew to include a rather large number of folks, including a fair number of youth. And let me tell you, it was quite an adventure trying to wrangle a bunch of fifth graders while we're trying to bake bread in the kitchen. They were helping. As we baked, we continue to remember what this meal means for us as a community of faith. The creation of this bread by our own hands extended our celebration of what happens at the table. So you might be asking yourself, why is this intern pastor droning on and on about bread? In the midst of this miracle of today's text, in the midst of the feeding of the 5,000, in the midst of the many crowds who gathered to hear Jesus' words of wisdom and freedom, we have this terribly tangible character of the story that we get to experience today. The bread. There's a sermon to be preached on the miracle that happened, yes, that's for sure. But there's also a sermon in the simple act of eating together. These people who were seeking respite from the pain of the world because of sickness, injury, political upheaval, or being outcast from the community, were simply looking to this traveling teacher for a word of good news. And they got it in both Christ's teaching and healing, but also in this meal that they shared. In this time of sitting and eating in this veritable pasture filled with grass, being watched over by the shepherd of the world, a mundane task of feeding 5,000 people with bread became a moment of holy abundance. So we are sent into the world, this and every day, having been filled with holy food at this table. Mundane bread made abundant through Christ. We are sent so that we might witness to the abundance found in this bread. We are sent so that we might witness to the history held within this food which we share. We are sent so that we might witness to the joy imparted to us through the miracle of this meal. Let us pray. Great God of all mystery, you show up for us in ways unexpected. In the midst of the miracles, grant us joy at knowing that you are present with us in and through the mundane. Bless us as we gather at your table, nourishing ourselves with your heavenly food. We pray all this through Christ our Redeemer. Amen. We join together in singing the hymn of the day.